All right. We greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Help us, Lord, to remember you, Lord, and remember these things often, Father, that we might truly number our days, Father. Lord, thank you again for all that you do. Fill us with your Spirit. Lord, give us wisdom and understanding. Help us be faithful to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. This is just counsel that the Bible's giving us, that we're to strengthen our hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of the joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. This goes along with what the boys' lesson was talking about forgiveness, finding places of forgiveness. A way to live. These are principles. You know, a lot of times we look for text or the exact words that the Bible tells us to learn something. But if we learn the principles of how God is and what God expects of us, that puts us way down the road to understanding. Maybe not just every verse or ever being able to explain everything the Bible has to offer, but the principles that it lays down for us. And the principle of forgiveness. When you understand the principle of forgiveness, you don't have to know all the verses about forgiveness. You know the heart of forgiveness is God has forgiven us. And for us to move on in our life, we have to forgive others. And just go on. And if you hang on to that unforgiveness, it's like having hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. It cripples us. It reduces us to not being able to be productive. It's just like something that's almost useless, just dead weight. But it says strengthen those things. And make straight paths for your feet. Guide your life on the principles that Christ is teaching, that the Bible brings to us, that the Bible shows us, the principles of who God is and what He's all about. Pursue peace with all men. Be ready always to have an open door for people who failed you. Be ready always to pursue peace. You know, there's a lot of times that whenever we think of pursue, it means you just chase after the person maybe that's done you wrong. Well, that's not necessarily what it's talking about, because in most cases, trying to fix something with someone, if they don't want it fixed, there is nothing that you will ever do that will fix that. you can pursue it in that manner and try to fix it, and most of the time you just wind up making it worse because they don't want the problem fixed. But to pursue peace is to pursue that opportunity in us, that heart in us that just is ready, that if they are open for peace, you're ready for it. So you pursue this in your own heart, not necessarily the person that you're trying to, that you would love to have peace with, because oftentimes there's, unless they want peace, there's no way to have peace. And to try to create it by just manipulating it, you're not finding any true peace at all. But to have that true peace, that pursuing that peace, pursuing that welcomeness, or for them to just extend their hand, that's pursuing peace. Be ready for it at all times. Just this week, I seen a man that I never really have particularly liked, but I spent a little bit of time with him and was just friendly, but just sitting there in his presence and listening and talking with him just a little bit, I just thought, why don't I like this man? Why is it that I just don't like him? And I thought, there's no reason for me not just to like him. Yeah, he's done some things wrong to me. He's done some bad things. And I don't even really think about those things. I don't care. But there was still this, why don't I like him? Why can't I just have a warm heart towards him? And there's no reason not to. And just sitting there, visiting with him just for a moment or two, it was like my heart just warmed towards him. It doesn't mean we're going to be best friends, or it doesn't mean I'm going to hang around with him. It doesn't mean I'm going to just like him a lot now. But there was a different attitude towards him, just sitting there visiting with him. Lifting up the feeble hands, lifting up the weak parts, strengthening the feeble knees, the weak knees. Just being ready to pursue peace. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. An opportunity for you to strengthen your hands, to strengthen your knees, is the grace of God. And when we miss those opportunities, we are falling short of the grace of God. We are falling short of the opportunity that God is giving us right now. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many are defiled. You see the opportunity we have right in front of us. We can take an opportunity to learn the principles and experience the principles that the grace of God affords us. Or we can just leave a little root of bitterness there. A little bit of bitterness in there. And it says by many. Many will be defiled by that. Will be ruined. Will be spoiled. And most of the time, it all hangs in the balance of one little second or a moment of time, we're there. And we will never be there again. We will never be there again. Just living in these principles and walking in these principles and ready to lift up and strengthen and encourage and to avail ourselves of the grace of God when the point, that one moment of time that we face, we have that opportunity to avail the grace of God, or it passes us forever, never to be available again, never to face that same situation, face that same time. It's over. Then we go on to the next. And we can spend our lives regretting, oh, I missed it. I missed it. We can kick ourselves and be angry and upset. I missed it. And then miss the next one and the next one and the next one. This snowballing guilt because I failed, because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And it just builds and builds. Or we can take the moment. Okay, we failed. Then avail the grace of God and prepare ourselves for the next time. You know, I was able to counsel with a person this week. I just spent hours talking with her before, giving her counsel and wisdom, advice, to watch her throw it away, not listen to it. You know, a lot of times when you give advice and you give counsel, people get upset because they didn't take my advice. They didn't listen. So we get ourselves offended, get all upset because somebody didn't listen to us. I've spent 30 some odd years with a blessing, with a gift that the Lord has given. Not to prophesy about the future, but just to be able to see things. To talk to young people. To talk to people. Talk to old people sometimes. When they need advice, they need counseling. And you give it to them. And over and over and over again, it's like you just wasted your breath. And you watch them. And you know where they're headed. You know. And it's not a pride thing for me when someone doesn't take my advice. When I try to give them some and they won't listen to it. It's a very pitiful thing. A very sad thing. Because I've watched people destroy their lives. And when I'm trying to tell them this, when I'm trying to talk to them, and they're not wanting to listen, or they say they want advice and then they won't listen to it, they're not offending me. I can see their lives. And I can watch them destroy their lives. I can watch them destroy their lives. I can see all that. I'm not trying to say I've got some special thing. I'm just saying I've seen it happen over and over and over and over and over again. And it's the saddest thing in the world for me. whenever it just comes out of my mouth, whenever I'm talking to somebody, and this dire warning comes out of my mouth of where they're headed with their lives, if they choose the path that they're heading on, if they continue on that path and will not listen. And then to watch it come to pass. And watch it. You know, some people claim they'd love to be a prophet. People just think they want to be a prophet. But it's a miserable thing just to hear out of your mouth, and maybe even words you didn't even want to say, say, this may be the last chance that God ever works with you or ever talks with you. You're closing a door. You've come to that moment in time where you're making a decision, and it will alter the rest of your life, and you'll never pass this way again. Hopefully, like in this young lady's case, after she has completely made a wreck of her life, she came to herself and remembers all those times of counsel, all those times, and just wish she would have listened. Regrets, feels bad, hopeless that she didn't listen. My advice to her now is, if you get all in despair and all hopeless about this, you'll stay in that condition. God has granted you one more opportunity to make a right decision here, that you can climb up out of this. And not everybody gets that opportunity. But if you failed, and if you've fallen, if you've disregarded advice, made a wreck, you can start over if God gives you another opportunity to. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. That there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it with tears. That's a sad, sad place. And that's not just talking about being saved one time. How many things have you done in your lives? But there's no fixing it. No matter how you repent of it, how it breaks your heart, or how low it's brought you, there's no fixing it. There's no place to ever, ever, ever fix it. The only thing you can do is build on the rubble. Build on what's left if God has given you another chance. How many things in our life have we done? Have we found ourselves in that we wished we could fix that? We wished we could fix that. But the time will never come. The time will never come that we can ever repair that. Teach me, O Lord, to number my days. Teach me to number my days. The only thing that we can do to repair those things is to learn and never make that mistake again. To number our days, to remember our days, so that we're prepared to make the right decision the next time. What we've done, we can't. Sometimes some things can't be fixed. Some can, some cannot. But we can be prepared to live our lives like every moment and every day. I can strengthen the weak hands, the feeble hands, the weak knees. Or I can just add bitterness to my life. That I may apply to wisdom my heart. That I may apply my heart. I am but a man, my years are but a day. And short will be my stand, and brief will be my stay. And I will not again e'er pass along this way. I will not again e'er pass along this way. You know, whenever you think about life, sometimes I look at it and it's just so final. I mean, every moment that we live is the last one for that opportunity. Every day that we live is the last one. We don't get to do it again. A few of us can start over. But we don't get to do it again. You know, I just think about it. Read the obituaries. And you hear about someone dying that you had forgotten about. But you'll never see them again in this life. And in this way, never see them again. People move off. People leave. People do different things, and you may never see them again. The only thing we have is right now. So that if they leave, if they move, if they die, you will have done what you should have done in the moment that the opportunity was there. That you were living your life in such a way that you were numbering your days, not just caught up in life, but numbering your days to be prepared, to be there, to give that counsel, to give that advice to someone that might take it. You know, it gets discouraging trying to speak into someone's life and you get your head bit off. Right away, we don't need your help. Well, they don't say it that way, but that's the way it comes out. I've got it all figured out. We don't need you. And it gets pretty discouraging. Just offering advice to people that they can't see, but they think they do. And they don't listen. Sometimes I just want to crawl in a hole and shut up. Because you just get tired of getting bit. And every time you try, just makes things worse. So sometimes you just want to forget this. Why am I even doing this? Then once in a while you'll find somebody that'll listen. And you watch their life just blossom. And it's such a blessing. Teach me, O Lord, to number my days. Teach me to be mindful of the moment that I'm living in right now. May the Lord add His blessings.
Our assignment was to get a verse about forgiveness, and I got two here in Mark 11:25-26. Whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. And I thought about how, you know, we can say that we understand forgiveness, but most of us, or a lot of us, especially us young people, haven't ever really had anything that we, you know, that really hurt us that we had to forgive. And, you know, if we did, we'd probably see it in a different, we'd probably come to understand what it's really about.
I got this verse in Matthew 18:21-22. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? But Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. That for me means to, even if someone keeps on wronging me, to do the right thing towards them and just let them go, even if they keep doing it.
I thought about the story in Matthew 18:23, how there was this rich man, and he wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. And he was looking through the books, and he found one slave that owed him 10,000 talents. And he had the slave brought to him, and he said he was going to have to sell the slave and his family and everything he had to pay off the debt. And the slave fell down on the ground and started begging him to have mercy. So he just forgave him. And that slave went out and just found another slave that owed him just a little bit, and started choking him and said, you gotta pay me now. And the other slaves told the master, and so the master handed him over to torturers till he could pay it back. And it just reminds me how God forgives us so much, but if we don't forgive other people, we can't accept that forgiveness.
I also got Mark 11:25-26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. And I know some people might be like, oh, I really need God to forgive whatever I've done, so I better forgive other people. But it might not be real wholehearted thing. You have to really just completely let go of other people's things that they've done to you for God to. I mean, and then that way it'll be more justified for God to forgive you and whatever you've done.
We got some verses here in Matthew 6, verse 12. And forgive us our debtors as we forgive our debtors. And then 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your Father will not forgive your transgressions. And so, that's encouraging. We need to forgive people around us.
When I think of forgiveness, I think of this Mark 11:26, and it says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. And David has said before that the one who does the wrong, he forgets about it and everything's fine, but then the man who can't forgive him, he remembers it and it just burns at him.
I got Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. And we need to forgive people even when it's hard, just like God forgives us so many times.
I had Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions.
Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see all of you again this morning. Let's start by turning to Luke 12, verse 35. These are some of Jesus' teachings that are really, really important. I think about a lot. So start at verse 35. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table, and will come up and wait on him. So these slaves, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, what their master expects of them, and they're not expecting anything in return. That's just what they're supposed to be doing. And so here that's what we need to do. Not be looking toward the reward, but just doing what's right because that pleases the Lord. So continue here in verse 38. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. So, you too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. So when Jesus comes, we don't know. We don't know when he's coming, any time, an hour that we do not expect. Peter said, Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, my master will be long time in coming, and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour that he does not know, and will cut him pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. So when Jesus was here, He showed us how to live and gave us the way and the example of how we need to be. And he went and he said, I'm coming back. And he's going to come back someday, and we don't know when. And if he finds us, if we lose and forget what he said, then he'll like it says here, he'll assign us a place with the unbelievers. And then it says in 47, and that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few. From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. So, from what it's saying here, it could be that people that, you know, that grew up not knowing a thing about the Lord and what he taught us, it could be that they won't get punished much because they didn't know, nobody taught them. And so, for us that have been given much, much will be required. So that's really something to think about there. I guess that's about all I have.
What a blessing.
Amen.